gonna make it matter. Got good things, got you. Hoops and everything. Get back, never get back too soon. Are you lonely? Are you there when I'm not in the room? Are you only? Only a part of this when you choose.
Hello and welcome to the Point of Difference podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Welcome to Snack Size Christmas Day for Super Coaches, Round 1 Vegas TLT. We have two teams locked in, two team lists locked in, and we are as fired up as Hudson Young in a Vegas hotel lift. Hopefully we fare better than Morgan Smithy's left eye. Joining me tonight to go through all the big news, who's never found himself in a Vegas lift, but has found himself in a few Moosehead arguments, it's Coach of Tubes' pod. Tubes, welcome back to the pod.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Yeah, definitely haven't found myself in a Vegas rumble or even just an elevator rumble before, but I'm sure that was good fun. I'm sporting my Sharkies 2012 members jersey, starting to get fired up for the weekend after seeing the Sharks team named for this week. It's all systems go.
Yeah. We've been drafting this week for our pod draft league. How you found that?
Not too bad. I think I've got a pretty good team. I'm probably third favorite, I'd say, for the pod draft league. I had the 10th draft pick, so I'm above expectations, I think, versus where people were thinking at the start.
Yeah, someone who didn't fare quite so well in the draft after Tamari Martin missed the squad for the Warriors today. It's joining us from sunny London. It's coach of the Casablanca Eaters, Danny Boy Ricks. Danny Boy, welcome back to the pod.
Yeah, cheers, Matty. Bit of a Debbie Downer to start team this Tuesday. I was pretty excited and woke up this morning with some pretty bad news. I think half my draft side is not playing this week, so that should be fun. It's always pretty bad when you're considering Chad Townsend for the draft side. So
think about how Roosters fans feel right now, having to consider supporting him for the year.
We got a bit of fan mail in today on complaining about Chad from a Roosters fan, unsurprisingly.
I'm sure I'll cop it plenty this week. But, looking forward to it. Very excited. I don't know how many drafts we've done now, but, crunch time's coming. So, looking forward to the pod.
We've got a huge show lined up tonight to take you through all the relevant positional analysis for Team List Tuesday in Las Vegas and how that will impact the rest of your squad build. And we're also going to go through the major cheapies to give you the down low on who you should be considering and what their appeal is heading into round one. And finally, we've got a very special announcement of a new podcast in 2025. So an absolutely massive show coming up tonight, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But first, the league code for the Pod Open League is 730444. 730444. And I've got a very special announcement to announce that the major prize for the Pod Open League is going to be a minimum of $1,000 Australian. So very much worth your time to get in there. It's 730444. Again, very easy one this year. I'm very happy with the league code generator. So massive prize. Get in there. We've got a lot more coming later in the year. So really excited about the content we're going to have pumping out this year, and it's going to be very worth everyone's while to get involved. So as mentioned, we've got a brand new podcast coming this year, and it's going to be a Sunday night podcast, dropping Sunday night or early Monday morning to fill your void of Supercoach wasteland that is Monday before prices change and team lists come out on Tuesday. And I'm very excited to announce that the star of that show is going to be none other than Coach of Tubes' pods, Tubes. Tubes, give us a little bit more info about what we can expect on Sundays.
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be starring in the show. I'm going to be playing second fiddle. The show is going to be called The Sunday Snap, and then it's going to be me and Jono every Sunday, barring
Jono's
injury.
Back.
Kind of pulled out of the pod. wasn't a fan of the video content we were getting around this year. So he's pulled out of the Tuesday pods, and he's back hosting his own show, the Sunday Snap. And I mean, the content, like we've identified a gap in the market. The content on Sunday nights for those Supercoach listeners has left a bit to be desired for. So we're looking to fill that void in time for Monday morning. The format still TBD. It won't be like a game by game analysis, but you know, just trying to talk through some of the topics on the weekend, similar to what we spend half an hour talking about most Monday mornings. We're going to do it on a pod format on a Sunday night.
Yeah, very good. And would you describe maybe the tone as like fast and loose?
Fast and loose, very loose. We will come up with some different segments. There's potential for Tubes' tirade to come back, Grazi's gripes. We're still throwing out some different segments to think about.
Yeah, very good. And it's also a renaissance of your uni show from back in the day, which we won't know because it's a rival name, but you and Jono did a uni show together, so good to get the band back together.
Yeah, and we haven't been able to get the copyright off them to bring the name across, so we've had to rebrand it the Sunday Snap. We'll see how it goes.
I'm very much looking forward to this, the first Sunday Snap, which will come out this weekend after the Vegas games on Sunday. So some amazing content to get started with their Tubes. All right, let's get stuck into our positional analysis to kick us off. As always, we go to hooker. We're going to focus tonight on the positional analysis centered around the two games that are on this weekend. First up, we've got the Raiders and the Warriors from Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas. I believe that's on at 11 a.m., but I'll confirm that's correct. 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Saving Time, Sunday morning. So amazing! Get up, make your bacon and eggs, kick back, get ready for some footy. I think we'll all be stinging for it by that time. Relevant hooker, probably not the most relevant position for this week, but Dan, we start with Owen Paddy, who we're going to touch on our cheapie segment as well. Probably not one to start with, but could you entertain him as a long-term prospect as your hooker number two?
For one, this weekend, I don't know if I'll be watching over here in London. It's midnight, first game, 4:30, second game. So I don't think the bacon eggs will be on the card for that. But, Paddy Cakes looks a good player for sure. And the only thing I could see as a potential upside for him is that I think I've seen before Ricky play Starling for 30 minutes or so, and then that second hooker comes off the bench and plays the rest. So there's a potential he gets sort of 50 minutes playing hooker from the bench, which I don't think the you want to take the risk to start with, but certainly if you're seeing that consistently for the first two, it could be a round three pickup for sure.
Tubes, one of the burning questions for this preseason is how to structure your hooker. Paddy is obviously, if you know, I wouldn't really recommend going down that path now. I'm with Dan. You can have a look at him and bring him in if you need. But it's certainly the two cheap hooker options, predominantly Sandon Smith and Corey Pax. There's a couple of others in there later as well. Is that a structure you're looking at for your team, or are you looking at more having that gun cheapy combo?
I suppose Mamazelis is probably back in the combo a little bit if Humphrey's starting half and whether he holds that. But like, I just think like the two hooker play is pretty good, and we're going to talk a bit about cheapies later on today on this show. But so I just think that there seems to be a lot of cheapies. So if you're going with Iongi, if you're potentially going to be going with Duffy and I guess discounting in some of those gun positions, I just think the two cheap hooker strategy feels a little bit overplayed this year. I really don't mind the idea of starting with Harry, 690K, undervalued. He's got that sort of high upside. And I know the Storm haven't looked good in the trials yet, but I mean, you know, we'll see how they start game for round one. And Harry's sort of just, you know, coming back into his dominance. The other one I don't mind, depending on the structure of the team, is that if Kurt O'Donoghue gets named, but is JMK, 555K, they're the two premium options that I'm sort of eyeing off. And I just think they could easily average 20, 30 points more than those cheapy hookers and sort of get you a Wade or flyer. You don't have to go cheap in the hooking position.
No, I don't disagree. I just that they could average 20 to 30 more. And I agree with you. I'm only looking at I'm not looking at Harry just because I don't like the Storm's opening draw. They've got bye round two into Panthers round three. So he's just not for me at this stage. I'd actually prefer Munster if I'm going to go anywhere near the Storm. I think he's better value. But JMK is interesting if he gets 80. I think that's the only way I don't go with two hookers because I do think that Sandon Smith particularly, but maybe even Pax, like they're talking 50, 60 minutes for Corey Pax up there in Brisbane, which obviously we need to see it, but it does help that Billy Walters' dad isn't the coach anymore. So that could actually be true. I think there's a chance that they could actually go closer, much closer to the 20 or 30 points that you mentioned there. It could be more like 10 points averaging over those first 6 weeks. So
when's that other hooker back? Who was meant at Moser? When's Moser back for the Bronx? Yeah.
Undetermined. I haven't seen any update on him yet. But it certainly seems like Pax's role to lose for now.
It's his role to lose, but Moser could come back and it could go back to 40-40 and you just start.
It definitely could, but he's 232K, so
yeah.
Who cares? Dan, what's your view there?
Yeah, I think just you've got to have I think a pure cash generator position. Like it's just too, the players in the other premium spots are just too valuable to otherwise. So anyone under 250K and potentially starting role, like I think you just got to take the gamble on that. But yeah, otherwise JMK, good option. Grant, good option. That's about the list, I think.
Either way, don't start with patty cakes this week. Watch and learn.
Blake Brayley's been fairly popular. I just don't really see it.
People think because AFBs, it's just ridiculous. Like
He had eight or nine tries this last year. Like, how can he, even with AFB there, how can he even bump that up? That's a lot of tries.
Had Hazelton, the best front row try scoring record going around. Like, as in, I don't see it changing too much.
No, I agree. Okay, let's move down to the front row forward tubes. And the big news here is Corey Horsburgh named to start in the 8 jersey. Hudson Young and Morgan Smithies were both named to start as well, despite their fracas in the lift there in Vegas. We just got to talk about that a bit more. I know I was having a joke about it before, but can't really believe that they just had an argument and accidentally hit the emergency button and got kicked out, can we?
No, that's what it's. But they had a wrestle, they've admitted they had a proper wrestle in the. Apparently, so they had a proper wrestle in the lift, and then went back down to still try to check in, and they and the hotel people pulled up the footage and watched it, and then tried to kick him out of the hotel.
I love the fact that they said that Smithy's room wasn't ready in the middle of the night. Oh, very good. Anyway, digress. Tubes, Horse, the big horse, Corey Horsburgh, number 8. All the noises out of Canberra preseason has been training the house down. Ricky Stewart saying he'll be surprised if he doesn't regain his Queensland jersey this year, and he's backed it up by naming the big horse to start. I'd say he was already locked into most of our teams anyway, but does this solidify his position there as your front row forward number 2 to start the year?
Well, he was already in mine, and if anything, I'm disappointed. I was hoping he was named on the bench so that some people wouldn't pick him to start the year. Bit of a spanner in the works.
We're trying to help the audience.
I think he's 50-something percent owned already, so I imagine that'll go even higher. Him and Tyrrell May, 50-60-plus percent owned, I'd say, for the end.
Dan, what about you? That there's obviously Tino to come back in there as well. This really opens it up to run a Tino Horsburgh double act in the front row, second row.
Yeah, I think you definitely need the three playable front row forward rotation going. So Horsburgh and Tino having the dual second row is just the dream scenario in that case. So yeah, I think that's probably going to be in play for the majority of the super coaches. The only other player I see in front row forward would be ultra premium. So then you're looking at the likes of Pete Haas, AFB, which is looking good now that Atkinson's confirmed on the bench as well. They've got only a three forward rotation there. So I would probably I'm probably going to do the May and Horsburgh and then all go high premiums. So what about yourself?
Are you going to – well, the question I was going to ask you, yeah, I had Payne Haas in a few of my builds this week as my second front rower or first front rower with Terrell May and Horsburgh down in the second – Horsburgh and Tino down in the second row. I think with Horsburgh now locked in, I think that's a bit of a waste. I'd prefer to take on – I'd prefer it if Terrell wasn't such a good price. I know I wouldn't mind anybody in, but at that price you just can't, in my opinion. So I'm going to go May and Horsburgh. What I'm keen to get your thinking on there, Dan, is at the moment I'm running two Nuffs at front row three and front row four. And I think that's the – I think that won't be something that many people would be considering. But given you've got Tino there that you can plug down a second row, three very playable props on any given rotation, I'm really seeing that as a place to save money. And, you know, at the moment it's Miles Martin and E. Roberts, I presume his name's Ethan, there, who are both dual as well, can flip them around. And the only viable option cheapy-wise, I think, is like someone like a, you know, in that very low range is Royce Hunt, and he's still 250K. So it's, you know, you're saving 50K by going dual enough.
Yeah, I think you've got to go extreme bottom price enough. There's not going to be a 198K starter or even maybe bench spot as well. And I've historically just never been keen on those bench front row forwards coming off and playing 20 minutes because they can just absolutely burn you. They're sometimes not making money, like 20 or 30K. And then particularly this year with the flex and the 18th man, you know, there's going to be so many loops and they might cost you 20, 30 points just because they're sitting on your bench. So very, very happy to run a two Nuffs in the front row forward and have Tino and Horsburgh switching between second row forward. So one of them there.
Yeah, and what that also allows you to do as well is to switch those where you want to maybe run them as enough if you want to get them on field for a loop, either in the second row or front row. So, yeah, I think two Nuffs is the right number to start with. Possibly I would go as high as three, but probably as a centre wing Nuff, but I'd probably want them to be either very likely to play soon or have played like a Tamale, but we can get to him in a little while. All right, let's go down to second row forward now. Players of interest who have come up on Teamless Tuesday today are Zach Hosking, starting the second row for Canberra. The big news here is that Matty Nicholson, the prize recruit, who by all reports looked okay in the trials, he has not been named anywhere in the 22-man squad, which means Zach is looking like an 80-minute player there. Simi Sasagi is on the bench, who's obviously an edge player as well.
Did he even go to Vegas, Matty Nicholson?
Maybe he wasn't allowed. Maybe he had a visa issue.
Well, I was just looking at their bench because I was trying to think, why didn't they at least, you know, they could have suspended him, they could have done whatever. And their 22-man squad, it looks like they've taken over like the young brigade to give them a bit of, you know, bit of a holiday. They took over Chevy. Jed Stewart got a trip over there, Ethan Sanders. And all, their only other forward that's not in their 17 is Trey Mooney. So I think potentially they just didn't have the cattle to drop in Morgan or
Ricky wanted to give the young boys a shot at going to Vegas.
Yeah. Jed took his friends, Chevy and Ethan.
The cousins. Regardless, it's still very good news for Hosking. And Dan, I actually think Hosking's not a bad price at 513. I still would have semi-lingering doubts, though, over his job security and B, he's obviously had a fairly checkered career injury-wise so far.
Yes, he's a little bit too high a price for me, above 500K. So he looked very good busting out for Panthers when he came onto the scene, and that 80-minute role looked very good. He can get up for a try as well. Loves a high bomb and getting underneath him. A real base man as well. So, yeah, definitely don't knock it. But I just think given there's a little bit of job security issue, I'll just let him be and see how it's working out from that front. Maybe go high premium in the second row and then drop down to him if he's matching those guys. Sorensen, very interesting as well, 485K. If the signs are there, if he's fully fit, you know, he could go back to a 65, 70-minute-plus role. And you know, like, yeah, chances are he could be good as well. So might be worth taking a flyer on him.
Tubes' face then was more like, chances are you're about to lose for free and confidential advice. Please call 1-800-SUPERCOACH.
It feels like a risky bet to make on Sorensen. Like, he's obviously got the pedigree, but Papali'i on the bench, Luke Garner in centre with To'o out this week. Like, there's too much uncertainty there for that mid-range 460 K. I hope he does get back to his best, but I just couldn't see it. I mean, sorry, back to his best minutes-wise for Supercoach, but I couldn't see him getting that 65 minutes.
No.
Yeah.
No, not consistently. No. If you saw it, like if you got 2 weeks of it and then you're like, hey, this looks good, like they're playing IPAP through the middle, you know, they're running. The bench is very friendly for their pack. Like they're running Dane Laurie at 14 and then they got Luron Patea, who's a very highly touted Moses Leota clone. Who's a big, you know, minute prop. He's probably going to play that sort of 20 to 30 minute middle role. And then Eisenhuth, who's, you know, big plotter, but that's really saying that, you know, that edge role's possibly going to get 80. So if I see that from Sorensen, I'd want to do it, but I actually just don't trust Cleary in this lineup whatsoever. Like we could see, you know, Jesse McLean come into the side. He's named Luke Garner at center. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Jesse McLean start on the wing and Casey McLean move to center and Garner either out of the squad entirely or the bench or the second row. Sorensen to the middle rotation. So I just think going near any of these Panthers until game day when we see final teams is fraught with danger. Warriors wise, we've got Dimitri Vaimunga. Vaimunga, he's changed his name. He was previously known as Sifakula, Dimitri Sifakula. Not sure if you're aware of that or not, Tubes, but a little tidbit there for you. He's 232K, quite a popular cheapie. He's predominantly an edge back rower, but he can also play through the middle. I think we can give him a yay or nay in our cheapie rankings, Dan, but probably just puts a little, that's just a little wait and see now for Dimitri.
Yeah, I think so. If he got named to start, like, definitely could have taken the punt on him. One that's not there for the Warriors is Laban. I'm not sure where he is in the side. I thought he was nearly, you know, favourite to get that edge spot, and he does look a very good player as well. So, yeah, look, Vaimunga, I mean, could be anything, could be low minutes, play through the middle, obviously can play edge as well, but I think you've just got to avoid. There's also a fair few close to bottom price second row forwards that are probably going to pop up the following week. So I think you can just let him go for now.
Yeah, structurally, it's a bit of a blow because I'd planned for him to be my 232K edge back rower, 2RF. Now I've plugged Gashevsky in, which makes me feel a bit dirty. I think it's minimum one, but it could possibly end up being two of those guys that you require in your team, Dan, depending on the structure of your rest of your squad.
Yeah, Gashevsky, Hubner, Geimer, there's plenty in that second row, and I think you do need at least two cheap guys in that second row spot. So Hetherington's likely going to get one of those spots. I think he's cheap enough at 330K. But, yeah, just, again, bench forwards, not sure of the minutes, not sure of the rotations. Are they playing middle? Are they playing edge? It's too much, way too much up in the air for me.
Lika Halasima from the Warriors, named on the bench too, 232K, 19-year-old, up-and-comer. It's a big, big raw.
Any good?
Yeah, big raw bone. Debuted last year as an 18-year-old. So
okay,
it is an interesting bench. I mean, they've got Walker on the bench who probably play through the middle. So Aaron Clark at 390K is an option, but you imagine Walker plays the minutes. But then what does that mean for Wade Egan? Like, you know, other than his HIAs, he's pretty well priced as well for his output.
He's 491K
at hooker.
He's always one of yours, Egan. He always
He is one that can set up a try and, like, could get off to a flyer. Easily could be a 600K hooker come round 4 or 5, depending on.
I'm not touching anyone in that Warriors.
No.
I'm not touching anyone in that Warriors pack.
No. That bench is all of them can play edge. All of them can play forward. Middle.
Yeah.
Like it's a very versatile bench. Like there's just not an out and out like kind of prop on the bench there. So yeah, really want to see that forward pack play out, see how it goes first.
Yep, I agree with that sentiment.
Send him off! Send the drinking edge off! Get him off the field! That were diabolical!
Moving down to halfback now, we've got probably the most relevant position of the weekend where most super coaches have some big decisions to make. Tubes, just moving away from the halfback position but are more focused on the Vegas trip. Last year we had super coaches invest heavily in Brendan Piakoura, invest heavily in Jai Arrow. These are decisions that then they couldn't undo the week after, knowing that they were going to be out the following week. They had salary cap locked up. Do you think there's value in trying to go a little bit lighter with Vegas players to give yourself extra flexibility for next week? And I'm talking specifically here about Cleary and Hines. Like if you lock up $1.6 million in halfback, and then we get all the team news next week, we've got Duffy, we've got Sandon Smith, we've got hookers. So there's all these things that you're locking yourself away from if you go down the Cleary and Hines route. How are you approaching that?
I don't think so. Like, I think, like, given Duffy's percentage in teams now at the moment, like, after the weekend, I think a lot of people are starting to look at Duffy. I think if you want Cleary and Hines, I wouldn't let Vegas change that for you. You're locking them in. You've probably done enough draft teams to sort of be able to work around it. And you're looking at basically starting with the two of the, you know, six best players in Supercoach and certainly two of the best halves. I suppose the only option that you could look at doing is having one of them in the flex position. I don't like that as a strategy. I think you commit to having both of them in your halves and then you're leaving out Duffy as a wait and see. Duffy doesn't definitely have the spot over over Clifford yet either, and whereas Ioni definitely has the fullback spot in Parramatta. So I just think that don't let, you know, if you want Cleary and Hines, I wouldn't let that play into it too much. Don't overthink it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. And you're right, like Duffy, whilst it looks likely he's getting that position, like Clifford might not have been fit last week, he could still be first choice. That's you know, like even if we say that's 90%, that's still a huge risk to run. Like if you don't go Hines, you've probably either got to go then try and get Duffy up to a Dylan Brown or run Sandon Smith as your second halfback and make the alteration.
I just made that case, but I am thinking of doing that. And I don't mind the play of not even going Duffy, but you're leaving yourself open to go Duffy. And I'm looking at Dylan Brown because he's got that dual halfback status, halfback 5'8". And then if you're thinking about running, say, a Dewey at 5'8", who has centre wing duels, or you're looking at starting my man Brimpod that's going to get 5'8 centre wing duels, that just allows like a fair bit of flexibility, like as in, say, Duffy does hang around and you want to get him in, you can sell a cheapie, move Dewey down, or vice versa. It just allows you sort of a bit of flexibility in that if you're not going the Cleary-Hines combo. But that will really be a decision for next week. The decision for this week is just, are you going to do Cleary-Hines?
Yeah. I think that's spot on. Like I'm so big on having that flex those flex options to start the year. Really having a plan with if this happens and I can move this guy here. I think that's just so important. Dan, I've currently got Hines in my side along with Cleary. With Yongi and two cheap hookers, I think that obviously frees up a fair bit of cash to load your team up with some big premiums. I just can't see any with the ceiling of Hines of these other premiums. And, you know, you're looking at your, I think second row, they don't have the ceiling. And I think center wing is more of a lottery that, you know, you've got to tap into a bit of variance there. So I'm currently going to go down the Hines path. If I need to get Duffy later or Hines doesn't look the part, I can make moves there, that no worries. So that's where I'm at the moment. How are you approaching Nico this week?
Just impressed with Tubes' analysis, really. That was that's as deep as I've ever heard you go on Tubes with the flex and the jewels and switching things around. I could nearly see the red string just going up and the numbers going up.
It's this Sunday snap show, Dan. Like just plenty of research going into the Sunday snap.
I like the hands as well. Like there was movement going. Like
you know what you'd like even better is I'm currently up in draft pick 192, and I'm just looking at doing that analysis while we're talking as well.
I saw that you were up, and I was planning to throw to you after we do the positional analysis. I want a live pick on the pod at some point soon. So
yeah,
we get a bit of interaction there. So don't draft just yet.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bottom of the barrel pick there, so it's not going to be that exciting, I don't think. But I don't think there's much more to say about that. So I think you've analysed it really well. Like the point to who do you really want as a premium, ultra premium in second row forward and centre wing? I don't think there's a huge amount of options. You've got Fifita, who is a premium option, and I'm still considering him taking him first round. But he doesn't play the first round one, obviously. So that's a bit up in the air. Angus, you know, what's going to happen to the Roosters? Is he at his kind of max price? And, you know, he'll still go well, I think, but you're not really going to pick him up. And then, you know, who's over 700K that's not a centre and centre wing? So it's a really tough one to start with. But I'm very keen on Hines and Cleary. Just lock them away, get them done first round, and then see what happens. Very keen on Ioane. And I really like Jake Clifford as a player as well. So even if he doesn't start round one, I could see him coming in round two or three if Cows don't get off to the hot start. So, yeah, I think in those positions you've got, three spots, two fullbacks, two halves and a flex. And I feel you've got to go four premiums and one cheapie.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I'm not adverse to running Duffy and Yongi, but like I said, I think the balance of the team works out best to only have one of them. And I think, as Tubes pointed out, Yongi's got the spot locked in, and he has much higher upside, I think, as well in the short term. Even though looking at Duffy's reserve grade numbers, they're very strong, high base. He's a big boy. He looked really strong on the weekend. Won't be surprised to see him average 50 plus in Supercoach, but I think I just want to make sure it's there first, and then can deal with him on the fly, even if it's in round four, like after initial price rise. But we can wait and see. 5'8" Tubes. I want to throw to you first here because you've had a few drafts with KO Weeks. He's still he's got that fullback spot locked in. He's dual 5'8" fullback. Is he given you sort of plan what you rolled out there? I presume that he's not in your current side, but are you still thinking that he's got his stocks are on the rise, and that price of 517K or whatever he is potentially value?
I want to own him. I sort of listened back and thought about it last week. The case for, and watching Dewey on the weekend, like the case for him is quite strong with the centre wing dual 431K kicking goals, assuming he is kicking goals. And that is where I do feel a bit like locking Weeks in this week at that sort of mid 500K, when I'm probably also locking in Luke Metcalf. Like they're basically then just locked in my two 5'8 positions. That does feel like it just doesn't feel great. So I'm probably backing away from Weeks a little bit, but I am known for a last minute hot hand, and I do like him. So there's every chance we come back on Sunday night and Weeks was in the side.
Especially if you wake up on the good side of the bed Sunday morning and you're just fired up and you just want to see Weeks play well. I would be more interested in Weeks if he was goal kicking. I'm happy just to have a watch for now. I think he's shown he's got a bit of a low floor without the goal kicking, so I'm happy to pass on him. Dan, the Warriors guys, big surprises there. Chanel Harris-Tavita named at 5'8", alongside Luke Metcalf at halfback. We've seen Harris-Tavita play quite a passive role in the past. He's very much the non-dominant half when he plays for the Warriors. That's really cemented Metcalf in my team. With this structure, Tamari Martin, interestingly, drops out into the reserves, jersey number 20. I'm not really sure what's going on there, but potentially CHT. He had a year off and he came back. Maybe he's just had a really good preseason. maybe they want to hand the keys to Metcalf, which means they think CHT is a better foil. CHT's 330K, I'm not really interested if he doesn't have the goal kicking. I presume that Metcalf will still kick, but Metcalf's definitely the one out of those two that I'm very heavy on.
Yeah, I was really perplexed by that. You know, obviously drafting Tamari Martin, regardless, I thought he showed that he was just a rock solid, great, yeah, really good NRL half. Obviously not really super coach relevant given his high price, but he did average so much last year. Like it's a very, very confused. I think it really assures Metcalf, as you said, he's like looking like the dominant half. He's most likely goal kicking. And people that are looking at both of them to start, it just really, I think that really ruins your team balance there, having two Warriors at 5'8". They've got the bye in round 5. I think you can just let CHT just see how it plays out. And, you know, if things are looking in his favour, he's an easy downgrade from one of those 400K 5'8s or potentially with Weeks, you know, if you take a flyer on him. But, that, you know, back to your point, Chiefs, I think he's just a sticky point, Weeks. Like, if it doesn't work out for you, it's very difficult to make money by downgrading because you're only looking at the likes of Dewey Metcalf at 5'8". Then go up, you're looking at an extra 150K. So it's just really, really hard to see if it doesn't work out for you, where you go from there.
I mean, the obvious option would just be for me, if I went that deal bag strategy and Weeks didn't work out, that's an easy downgrade to Duffy there and then. And I've also found my year-long 5'8 keeper, who's not currently positioned at 5'8, that I know is going to be there later on. So, and that's my man Brimpod after watching him on the weekend. So, yeah, I'm still a little bit tempted. I just as a bit of an extra analysis while you were talking there, Dan, I did re-look at the Warriors last trial team, and interestingly enough, Tamari Martin shifted to fullback for the starting team with Tua Pickey onto the wing, and Chanel Harris-Tavita did start at 5'8 in jersey number 22. And so he didn't kick goals. I was more just looking from a goal kicking point of view. So I think you can say that Metcalf will have the kicking and Harris-Tavita won't. But yeah, I didn't realize that they put Tamari Martin at fullback. To be honest, whilst it does make you feel good about Metcalf, it also does show if CHT's in the conversation, it doesn't feel like maybe they're not fully sold on what their halves pairing's going to look like. And maybe that adds a bit of risk for Metcalf potentially. But as you say, it could work the other way, that it's his team now and the others are fighting it out.
Yeah, I think with the amount of ball he's going to get and his goal kicking, like, I think it's a big risk to not take him. I was speaking about potentially anti-potting him. But I think the way that this has fallen, I'm not really prepared to take that risk at the moment. Dan, we've spoken a bit about, especially Tubes, has very eloquently spoke about the duels at 5'8 and what you can do. Adam Dewey, obviously not playing this weekend, but he's sort of rocketed into contention after a good game, interestingly playing halfback. But his job security at centre looks good now. That duel at 5'8 centre just feels so valuable. In the 5'8 position that is quite even. Like, you know, we've got likes like Munster who has a tough draw. You know, obviously Metcalf, TMM's gone, but there's a few others, in Matty Burton who's got a strong draw to start the year. There's just it's just a little bit unknown, and I'm thinking now the players to go Metcalf and Dewey at 5'8 with a view to potentially shifting up to a Munster or someone else later when the prevailing option really presents himself. Either from Dewey or moving Dewey down to centre and foregoing a centre wing. I'm really keen on the idea as of today of trying to get a flyer with a premium centre wing around that 600K to start with a bang with a really hot draw, someone like from the Dolphins or Broncos, and then look to either move them on to a Munster or a Burton or whoever the prevailing option is at 5'8 via Dewey. How are you approaching that? Is Dewey in your team currently?
Yeah, Dewey is in my team, so he's got the second 5'8 spot there. I think you nailed it. Like, you've got to pick him up and anticipate that he's going to be able to go down to that centre wing spot at some stage, particularly if you're not going in ultra premium at 5'8". So you're looking to go up there. You know, I think that's enough said about him. He looks very good. He looks big, strong. He's going to goal kick week one, potentially goal kick for the rest of the year. I think he nailed 5 from 5 in the trial. So, yeah, I'm very high on Dewey. The other option for your 5'8 is maybe going Metcalf and Enough, someone like a Jake Elliott as your second, with the option of having Dewey at center wing. So that means if Metcalf goes down and he's got a significant injury, you can flip Dewey up there and look to do something else. Or, you know, if there's that's probably on the proviso that there's not enough center wing cheapies to start the year. So yeah. Because then you could, you know, even get out Jake Elliott, put Dewey up there and get a cheapie that comes on the scene in, you know, 2 or 3
it's
rounds
time.
Heaps.
We'll talk about them later.
I've cooled a bit since last week on the 5'8 Nuff, just especially given it's looking like 2 front row Nuffs. But
yeah.
I agree in terms of it can give you some flex. So,
yeah, and sure. It's a strategy for the extra cash elsewhere, right? So if it gives you a premium upgrade rather than 2 mids at 5'8, you know, we had a whole pod of mid-rangers, and I think the consensus was we're not liking the mid-rangers this year. Yeah. So it will probably give you a premium elsewhere. Chances are Chad Townsend might be out of the side in 3 rounds and Jake Elliott comes into the halves there as well. So,
yep.
You know, there's a little bit to play with that. But, yeah, at the moment I'm probably playing it a bit more secure and going the 2 mid-rangers.
It'd be pretty funny if Chad never played a game for the Roosters. He was so bad last week that Robbo just never picks him for the whole year. And they just move him into a mentor role.
Yeah.
You can see it. You can see it happening.
Well, what about down Panthers to... and Blaze Talangi? Like buying him, taking a starting fullback from Parramatta. And then, I mean, he might be injured at the moment, but
I think he's injured. Yeah. He had shoulder surgery in the offseason. He's just underdone. Yeah.
You're just steaming because you got him in draft. Like it's not a conversation. He's fine.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's move down to center wing. Plenty of interesting stuff to look at here from the teams listed this weekend. And that's where we'll focus our attention. The McLean brothers at Penrith, Casey named on the wing in place of Brian To'o, who is out. Alan Motti is the other winger there. Jesse McLean, who was the one Supercoaches were pinning their hopes on, 232K, goes by the wayside in jersey 20. I do think, as mentioned before, that he's still a chance to come into that team. So that's a big watch this space. He's a lock and load if he's named in the final 17.
It makes no sense. Like though, just on the McLean thing, like what they've done. Yeah. Like Casey McLean's a center. Like so, he must be locked into being the starting winger. Mm. Like otherwise, why not? You know, put him at center instead of Garner Alamotti under the like. It just so like if they start Garner and Alamotti the way that it's named, I don't think you can touch Jesse McLean. I had him penciled in as you know, even if you owned him, he's next man up for the Panthers, and he's an okay cheapie to have. But I'm pretty confident that Jesse's going to start on the weekend, like, and so you'll be looking to bring him into your side. So it will be a pretty. Are they the second game or the first game in Vegas? Like, it'll be a pretty interesting team list an hour before kickoff.
Well, that's right, because as well, we're not going to know about. So obviously, Tamale's playing, which at the moment he's in my team, but he wouldn't be in my team if Jesse McLean's in.
You can't go Tamale. Like, you just got to let him go through the keeper. I think, like.
I think you've got to go one of them.
You need a cheap. You need a cheapie.
What about all these cheapies? You can get Toya. What about all these other cheapies? Cheapies. Where are the
Toya's in my team already?
Toya, Purdue, Tass. I think we're gonna list them all off later on. There's 50 of them.
Yeah, they're not bottom price though.
I'd want some rumblings that McLean was playing. I'm sort of more than, I mean, let's talk about Tamale now. I'm sort of more than happy to run Tamale with the knowledge that he's got the spot this week. I've seen nothing to suggest that, other than Hopewadi's having a baby, we have no idea if Tamale or Hopewadi has that wing spot. Like, Albert Hopewadi's had a fairly underwhelming career so far in Canberra, and Ricky's showing that he wants the new blood in the team. I think warm body, he's obviously next cab off the rank. I'm pretty hot on Tamale, pardon the pun. Yeah.
I think it's shown historically as well, Canberra's usually going to get a cheapy outside back winger, particularly coming onto the scene at some stage. So you know he's first cab off the rank. You know, that's what we thought with Jesse McLean. So obviously Jesse McLean in a Panthers side was much, you know, from my perspective, it was head-to-head and both were playing this week. It's a no-brainer in choosing Jesse McLean. But now, yeah, very, very up in the air on what I'm going to do there.
If it is, Dan, if Tamale's starting and then we get, and you've, so you've got him in your team, and then team lists come out hour before kickoff, McLean starting on the wing, you just have to take him, don't you?
Yeah, you got to take him because you know he's probably going to be first off. And, you know, the other cheapies you're looking at, again, we're going to maybe talk about them later, but, you know, high 200s, they're not guaranteed. You know, Sione Finau, Stafford Toa, these other guys. So you've got to get some cheaps there somewhere. So if he's starting, I'm probably going to lock both in.
Tubes, you're the opposite, kind of as alluded to there. You're thinking Tamale is a bit of a no-go, given Hopper's looming presence in round two.
I think so. Like, I mean, I'd feel better if it was McLean for the Panthers. Like, I just, because, even if Tamale holds his spot, is he going to be any good? Like, the wing, it's not as though, you know, the Raiders are in for a million tries this year. I don't know. I just think he's a risk worth swerving. He's not complete bottom dollar, and I just think that there's going to be enough cheapies on the radar later on and give you more flexibility for what those look like next week.
It is interesting because I feel very comfortable having three very cheap centre wings, like Purdue is the most expensive, 257K. So having him plus two others. A fourth one, Dan, there, I think Toya is probably the one that you could then miss but if he's starting, he's obviously necessary. I'm kind of want him in no matter what. Like, he seems like he's touted and it's got good, really good power stats. Like, it's just that means you've got to run Purdue basically as your fourth center wing, which, look, I'm not totally opposed to, but it does make your structure a bit different.
Well, yeah, no, I don't mind that. I don't mind running Purdue as a fourth centre wing, particularly if the likes of Sione Finau, Stafford Toa, these guys under 300K pop up, even if you've got enough cash to go up to Isaiah Tass, who potentially has the goal kicking, and he's under 320K. So, you know, I'm very keen to start with probably four very cheap centre wings and then nothing below 500K for the rest of them. Maybe Skelton at 499, but basically go those four cheapies and then above 500K for the rest of them. So just gives you a bit of wiggle room. And I've always been a bit enough biased. I'm happy to carry enough for a little while. Someone like Tamale, if he gets dropped, I'll probably just hold him unless someone on the bubble comes along. I'll probably just hold him as enough.
I think that's right. Just over to some of the other teams there. The Warriors, Tubes, Roger came out and scored a few tries the other day. He's 550K. Any thoughts on Rog?
Oh, I think plenty of people will start with him. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sold on him. I think there's plenty of these 500K options and you're sort of just weighing up which ones you're looking to start with. I just don't know if the full upside is there with Roger anymore. I do concede, though, that he is value and obviously he can score some tries. So I couldn't talk anyone out of going with him. I think it's just your own sort of judgment gut call there.
Ali Leotawa is a young up-and-comer. He's too expensive for me, Dan, at 500-plus K, but he does look a prospect. He's probably just a pod move later on.
And I could be a pod move to start with. I think if you don't get Roger, I would consider him greatly. I don't want him and Roger in the side. I think early-ish by round five, you're probably going Metcalf, lead your team a little bit early on, but certainly really like him. I think it's a toss-up between him and Roger. I think Tua Peake on the wing solidifies Roger's base as well. He's going to be the big baseman at the back there, along with CNK. But I think Roger, is an absolute goer. I'm starting with Roger.
And the last one on my list here is Sam Stonestreet, who has locked down that right wing position for Cronulla Tubes. Sione Katoa, unfortunately, out for 5 months. Stonestreet did really well, scoring 5 or 6 tries in his 4 games last year. He's priced at 500K. His base, not amazing, but he does look a flyer and a natural try scorer. Can you see why people might take a punt on him to begin with?
No. Can't. I think, he's one to watch for the season before the Sharks go on some type of run. But I don't think the start of the year, obviously, and starting with the Panthers, he certainly doesn't appeal to me to get you off to a flyer in Vegas against the Panthers on Sunday.
Yeah. Finally, down to fullback, and there's nothing really doing here this weekend. No options are particularly relevant. Edwards, Kennedy, obviously KO weeks we've spoken about, and then CNK not relevant to begin the year from a classic perspective. He's very low in drafts as well, I noticed. Was falling to sort of the 9th, 10th round in a lot of drafts. But Isaiah Yonge, Tubes, I want to talk to you about this because he was previously not in your team, and he looked electric on the weekend, scoring a great try off a scrum, then setting up a try over on the left-hand side. He was kind of bobbing up everywhere. Obviously, no Mitch Moses, or Dylan Brown. So that obviously that could change when he comes back, his involvement, particularly in the red zone. But he, for 232K, which he's starting at, or 240K, whatever he is, it really feels like there's a shift in the view of people who were looking at 3-gun fullbacks, and now it's looking like 2 guns plus Yonge as the prevailing.
Yeah, I was very strong in the 3-gun camp, making my opinions very clear on that. But I think any good super coach player has got to be fluid in their decision making, and I like to consider myself fluid. Seeing Yonge the last 2 rounds, particularly on the weekend, playing some good minutes, and it wasn't just a flash in the pan. You saw another fantastic cutout ball with a double pump to put someone over on the left wing, but you also just saw him throw off. Who was that? Whoever it was they just absolutely muscled him off and then ran away and scored. He's got speed, power, and ball work. I think Jono actually did the numbers and sort of went through and basically said Will Kennedy was the only fullback to average under 50 last year that played 5 or more games at fullback, which probably doesn't bode well for Kennedy and the Sharks in that area. But I just feel seeing a Yonge play now, he feels like a 60-point average man and beyond, just too much upside. You can't pass him up. Even though I'd still like the strategy of 3 guns, you got to play the man sometimes, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Dan, anything to add?
Maybe Tubes should have wet the hair tonight. Have the Sharkies jersey on. Could have been the wet hair prince being so fluid. I wish we got a clip up of Tubes' strong opinion about Ioni a couple of weeks back. But he looks so good. He's got all the skills. He's going to be in a decent back line, decent halves inside him, out the back plays, tackle breaks. I think it's crazy to not start with him now.
Let's kick off our cheapies segment now with with Isaiah Yongi, he's the most owned cheapie in the game. He's the most owned player in the game at 58%. Or actually, is he more than Terrell May? I'm not sure. But he's certainly the highest owned cheapie at 58% of time of recording Tuesday evening. We've spoken enough about him. We're all locking into our teams. The second most owned cheapie is Robert Toya from the Roosters Tubes. He's 50.5% owned. 198k basement price. He's got some very good numbers behind him in reserve grade. He is returning from an ACL injury. He played a few games at the back end of last year, so he's had the full preseason. He looks just a general lock and load if he's named to start.
Yeah, 198k starting center for the Roosters. Like, basically, you don't want to play him, I don't think, in your 17. But if assuming he's named. You'll be picking him on your bench in the centre wing.
Dan, if he's not named to start?
I don't know. Like, he's the only full bottom price centre wing that's likely to start. I guess the depth isn't there. They've lost two gun centres, the Roosters, so you could potentially do that if it suits the rest of your team. Again, he would be enough that you're looking at. You probably got a bank that he will come good at some stage. But I haven't made that decision. I'm just expecting him to start, and you've got to take him.
Sam Smith, 50.5%, also dual halfback hooker, spoken about ad nauseum during preseason. Fair to say he's been a little bit underwhelming. He's got the goal kicking, it appears. It would be I think it's a big call to anti-pod in Tubes.
Yeah. I've just taken Jason Saab in the draft. Pick 192, which I'm pretty happy with, right wing for Manly.
Have you heard have you heard he's fighting out that position with Tommy Talau as of today? Lehi Hopewadi locked in on the left wing.
Lehi's locked in on the left. Tommy Talau. I'm not too worried about him fighting Jason Saab as long as he's fully fit. I think Sandon Smith's an obvious pick. I think, as we said before, the decision really is, are you going the dual hooker strategy and cheap hooker strategy, and therefore you're locking him into your starting 13? I'm not quite there yet, but he's obviously going to start inside.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried. I know a couple of people from the Pod community are very worried about him as an actual footballer, so that'll be interesting to wait and see how that plays out. I'm hopeful that one of him and Corey Pax will be able to fill that starting spot. Jackson Purdue, he's 46.4% owned. He looked incredible on the weekend. Not much needs to be said. He should be 100% owned. Corey Horsbrough as well should probably be 100% owned now he's named to start. Not much to say on him. An interesting one is Royce Hunt, 29.3% owned. Dan, front row forward, he's a big impact, low minutes guy. I'm not convinced his game is that conducive to high output Supercoach scoring.
No, if he was a rookie up and comer, you hadn't seen much of him. You know, potentially is going to go upside, but you've kind of seen what Royce Hunt does. So if he doesn't get the minutes there, I think you know what to expect, and I'm expecting it to be not a great Supercoach output. So I think you've got to swerve at this stage. You know, I missed Liam Henry last year, but he was obviously not on the scene and looked amazing, and had Origin players not playing would get 80 minutes. They're the kind of guys that you'd probably take a flyer on, but Royce Hunt isn't one of them.
No, I just don't see the upside, and I think he could be an AE problem as well moving forward.
Matt, like, as a general thing, because we're talking about them like quite quickly, we've got a list of 28 cheapies here, which I've termed under 380k. Like, I just think there's so many cheapies. Like, you really need to basically try and get cut off some of these you know, rubbish ones like Royce Hunt, like, as in just
as in
enough.
I need to cut them out.
Like 29, whoever these 29.3% of people that have Royce Hunt in their team, like, they must have made it, you know, when it first opened up, and then just haven't done it again since.
It's pretty straightforward. It's because they have to fill four front row slots, and they don't want to spend money there, and they're right. Like, they shouldn't spend money. But I just think you're better off going two nuffs. And people can't really handle that. Like, that makes people feel sick for whatever reason. But I just think that's just a complete no-brainer. And especially given this year that you've got Tino and Horsbrough, who are dual. So you can run those two plus May, and like that's just lock and load.
Yeah.
Speaking of duels, Jack Bird, dual second row centre wing.
Came off the bench.
379K, came off the bench last week. I'm not convinced even if he does start. He's obviously got a horrendous injury history. He's a maybe from me at this stage, Tubes.
He's a no from me.
If he starts.
I don't think he will. The fact he was, I mean, even if he does, the fact he was named on the bench on the weekend means that they're considering the possibility of running that sort of
Who started?
Rotation. Was it Twale? Pole, which who started last year as well, a fair bit as well. So, I mean,
Pole's all right.
Yeah. Okay. But, I mean, Bird is he's probably a little bit too high priced. I think it's only if you've got the spare change. He'd be your 25th player picked for a cheapie. Otherwise, if you're trying to get up to Bird by dropping someone else,
yeah, it's a high priced cheapie.
He's also an easy downgrade. Like if he looks like he's going to make a ton of cash, like he still might not. It might be hard for him to make 200K there. So, I'll probably wait and see. But if he is starting, and that's a big watch on the bench makeup there for the Tigers as well. Viamunga, we talked about earlier. He's 25% owned. That'll go down, I would imagine, between now and the weekend. He's a wait and see. Peter Mamazella, Stan, hooker, 302K. 25% owned. I think he's just in the wait and see bench wise. Jamie Humphreys looks like he's going to play halfback.
He's just an absolute wait and see. I don't know how it's going to pan out at South, but yeah, it doesn't interest me with the likes of Corey Pates. It depends. If Corey Pates not named next week, he's the next one up.
Dan, we've got to let you go. I know you've got a patient to see, so appreciate you joining us. Me and Dan will head. Me and Tubes will take the rest of the cheapies from here.
Yeah, cheers, boys. Thanks, mate.
Tom Duffy, 198K bottom price halfback. He's 24% owned currently. We spoke a bit about him earlier. Did you like what you see? You're actually at that game on the weekend, Cows in Melbourne.
I did. I went to the game, Casey Fields. He looked unbelievable. His goal kicking wasn't amazing. I think Scotty Drinkwater ended up having the last crack, and that didn't look too much better, to be honest. But they scored plenty of tries. They looked good. He had a nice few balls that sort of set up some tries. I think if he gets the spot, he's going to be a good player. I still think Clifford finished the season pretty well last year and had a good combination, and it's clear that he's been injured. I still think it's potentially his spot to lose, and there's enough risk there. The other question really is, the world is where Cleary and Hines just absolutely kill it like they have done in the past, and can you even afford to have Duffy anyway? So, you're not down. You could start with both of them, and you're not downgrading either of them to Duffy, even if he's averaging 50.
It's a good point, because there's actually, if you go Cleary and Duffy, and Hines looks like he's back to his best. Like, how do you shuffle the pieces to get Duffy up to Hines? You're never going to sell Duffy, especially if he's going to make 300K.
It's a long term play. Like,
that's your only way. You have to get Hines in the flex.
Very
tricky.
I think I'm not getting him. I'm putting it down now.
Okay. I'm not planning on getting him at this stage either, even though I had him in my team for a period over the weekend. Jesse McLean, we spoke about. I think he is a wait and see unless he is named in the final 17. Make sure you're looking for that. Naha Fahu White, 20, just over 20% owned, dual second row, front row. Tubes, I don't mind White as a player, and I think he might be decent value. I'm just not looking to spend 367 in that position on a player that we don't know exactly what we're going
to
get.
Well, I was trying to work out why he's so highly owned, but I think similar to what you said before, people are looking for cheapies in that front row forward. I can't touch any of the Roosters pack at the moment, not knowing what their minutes are going to look like. Wong was named at lock on the weekend. like White could easily start at lock. I just think both of them, the price just isn't quite right to start with them until you know what the minutes are going to look like.
Yeah, see why Wong's interesting because he was a cheapie from last year as well. Agree, though, with that sentiment. If he's named at lock, I can see why people would go him because he's that little bit cheaper as well. He's just over 300K. I'm not writing Wong off entirely, but I'm not planning for him at this stage. Jesse Arthurs, oh, my God, 341K. He's nearly 20% owned too. Like, he can score a try. Jeez, have you seen his hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
He's looking good. He's looking unbelievable. I think he, like, wasn't there a thing going around on Instagram he owned a backpackers down at the Gold Coast? Like, that's what he looks like. He just like he just looks like a man that's just been hanging out by the beach, like at his backpackers, just sitting there in the sun. Yeah, he looks pretty good. I think you and Dan owned Arthurs last year, didn't you? And you got pretty burnt by him. But you can see the upside, can't you? Like, I mean, Reece Walsh down the left edge, cutout balls, Arthurs, you know, doubles and hat tricks to start the year. Like, not for me, though.
No, he needs those tries. And if he doesn't get them, then he's got no base. Yeah, not for. Not, sorry, if he was cheaper, I'd go him, but not at 341K.
Well, he's 340K, 1K. He played the whole season. So you basically just, you'd be buying him thinking you're getting a 30% better Broncos, basically, which could be true.
Well, and you might get that.
Yeah.
You might get that. So, look, he's not the worst on this list, but I'm not going anywhere near him. This one's the most bizarre on the whole list for me, Tubes. Josh Schuster, a second row forward only. He's 17% owned still, 265K. By all reports, he's nowhere near the NRL team.
It makes no sense. I mean, even if he was, on the bench, you wouldn't start him. Like, it's they've still got Ewan Aitken to come back. Like, who knows what's going on with Schuster, but you can't have him to start any side at all.
One of the more interesting cheapies is Finifuiaki, who's moved from the Cowboys to the Dolphins. He was touted a little bit last year, and we didn't quite see it. I think there's a few fundamental holes in his game from a super coach scoring output. I think he's quite a good player, but I'm not yet convinced. He's 16.6% owned. I think he is potential high upside, but I want to see it before I be drafting him into my team.
You can't touch him, I don't think. Did you see their team on the weekend? Max Plath was named edge back row. They've got Lemmy coming in back. Tom Gilbert, who played lock but can play edge back row as well. I think that there's enough there at 368K that he might not start, or if he does start, like, he's not going to get the 80 minutes, and I think he needs to be locked in 80-minute edge back row.
One guy who I am a bit keener on in that price bracket is Kobe Hetherington, 338K. He seems to have really impressed Madge. He's nailed down that starting lock role with Paddy Carrigan moving up front. He's 15% owned. I've had him in my team for the last week or two now. Look, he's not inspiring, but I think if you're looking at these guys in that price range, he's cheap enough to be a cheap option there who's going to get good minutes and should make some good cash. He's one that I'm pretty keen on, Tubes.
Yeah, and I think he's got that good role with Carrigan moving to front row forward. I think it looks like their bench might be something where they get lower minute sort of props coming off the bench as well, and there's potential where they're going to start with Piakora as an edge. Now, I know they can move Goz in, like they did on the weekend, into the centre to play a bit of centre and middle, but I just feel like Kobe, it's Kobe's spot to lose that sort of 55 plus minute middle role, and he's just a workhorse. Like, he'll be a. Hopefully, he's a better version of Morgan Smithies of last year. Points per minute.
You mentioned Jack Koshevsky there. He's next on the list. He's only 15% owned still, which I expect to rise. He's 232K. He's currently floating somewhere in and around my team, in and around. I wouldn't say I'm locked into him yet. Look, we know who Jack Koshevsky is. All the chat is he's impressed Madge as well, trained the house down, blah, blah, blah. I still feel a bit sick talking about adding Jack Krzyzewski to my Supercoach team, even at 232K.
Pretty funny. I'm on the NRL app. They don't have a picture of him in in the team list. And then when you look at their bio, do you like what would you have put down as his previous club?
As his what? Sorry.
But what's his latest club? His previous club that he was at?
The Cowboys.
And they've got South Sydney Rabbitohs. Did he play for the Rabbitohs? I know he played for Manly.
He played for Manly, Cowboys, and Souths. I don't know the order.
Yeah, okay. I think he'll play 4 or 5 games at some point this season. Early this season, and then he'll go missing again, and then he might pop up at the Dolphins or something like that. Maybe the Titans
His last club was Cowboys.
Yeah. So George, NRL hasn't got a picture, hasn't figured out where he is.
He's 30 years old.
Yeah.
It screams no good to me, but I'd much prefer just to get a look at him and make sure he's got that spot. Piakura is right there lurking. I'm going to do everything I can to not start him.
He just gives me those weak gutted dog vibes from last year. You don't want to start with him. You feel sick starting with him, and then you're going to regret starting with him if you do.
Billy Smith, he's an option if he starts 317K.
Yeah, if he starts, the position's his. He just hasn't trialed well at all.
He hasn't played.
He hasn't trialed at all. Not trialed well. He just hasn't played. So you need to see what he looks like. I'm more interested in one of the other guys we'll talk about, Isaiah Tass, 10K more, potentially kicking goals at South Sydney and on the wing. So if you're doing head-to-head those two, I'd be leaving Billy Smith out. He's had plenty of chances.
I like Tass on the wing as opposed to centre. I think he's the least impacted by Latrell being out. On that right wing, he's a hard worker. He'll do a lot of the bullocking work coming out of their own end on exit sets. Goal kicking, you can debate how good Souths are going to be. Old joke that they're not going to score any tries. But look, I think he's a decent option. I agree. I'd probably go him over Smith, but there's not a lot in that.
You can't go that Derby guy now from the Cowboys. No. He just looks to have fallen right out of favour.
If he's named out of nowhere, pick him.
I don't think he will be. They've still got Labert. Obviously, Billy Braden Burns is. Seems like it's his spot to lose.
Yep. We've spoken about Owen Paddy, and we spoke about CHT earlier. Stafford Toa Tubes, 288K. With the news that Justin Olam is potentially going to be medically retired, it really looks like it's Stafford Toa and Adam Dewey who are locked into those center spots. Toa actually went on a bit of a run. Was it last year or the year before? And he got up to 600K or 700K.
He had 150 score, and then a couple of okay ones around it. But he's still the point. Yeah, he does have it in him. I think I read the other day that he sort of averages mid to high 40s over the last few years at centre. So, he's already value there because he played a few games off the bench last year, I think.
All his games were injury impacted.
Yeah,
so
okay.
He didn't finish a game. He played 3 times last year and didn't finish a game. He had a lot of hamstring issues.
So I've got him – I don't have him in my team right now, but, I've got him as sort of that – potential next man up if you're looking to plug a hole. If it was him v Billy Smith, that'd be a conversation that I could see myself going Toa just for a bit of upside. He definitely has a tackle break in him, and can look flair. If the Tigers do look okay to start the year, he definitely has attacking upside, as he said.
Yeah, someone else in that bracket is Sione Finau, 275K. He scored 4 tries for the St. George Illawarra Dragons on the weekend against Souths. 4 tries in the first half, I think, before he was knocked out, Cat 1, taken from the field. He'll be all right for their round 1 fixture should he pass concussion protocol. Tui Pilotu looms large there, Tubes. I think I could entertain Finau. I think Finau's big chance if he wins that spot and we get a bit of negative news about Tui Pilotu.
So many. Oh, that's what I mean. I reckon there's so many center wing cheapies. You could easily, in a, what'd you say, 270
K, like,
yeah, 274 or something, 277.
You could easily play him. I don't think he's going to make my cut, but like, that's a, you know, if you had to, he said, like, I know he scored four tries, but he's a big body. He seemed like he get through work, and he's playing that, you know, wing spot at the Dragons. Like, he's going to score some tries.
The other thing about, I think it's worthwhile just talking about this quickly. I know it's been a bit of a long pod, but I think, you know, plenty of good topics. Centre wing guys are the ones who can make the money the quickest. So they're the best. If you've got good starting cheapies with a relatively okay job security, they're the best place for your cheapies. There's absolutely zero doubt about that. Because they can, you know, bink out a 90 score or 100, and then they're off to the races. You're 200K at a bare minimum that you've made. I think the gun and cheapie strategy in centre wing. Centre wing's so exciting this year. There's so many, you get good cheapies, good premiums. Okay,
and good mid ranges,
I should say, and good mid ranges. Yeah,
I've got three 500K guys in my team. That's what I'm struggling with. Like, if you don't go Cleary and Hines, and you're going to Yongi, where do you spend your money? Like, I'm more happy to lay Garrick than I am to lay, you know, Hines, and I'm happy to get a cheapie in the center wing than I am to get Duffy. Like, I don't know.
Garrick's Garrick's the only premium center wing that I'm really high on.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong, he'll be good, I'm sure. But, like, I'm just saying, like, you got to find the, you know, I can't see that you're spending on those premium centre wings this year. Garrick's the exception, but I'm probably even not going to start with him. And so I just think you've got to lock in your premiums in those halves and fullbacks and potentially a few in the back row. And as I said at the start of the pod, like, hooker, like, that's why I really don't mind the idea of locking in a Harry Grant. So yeah, plenty of cheaper. I could go. We haven't even talked about Hubner, who news today is he might be starting lock for.
I love Hubner.
South Sydney, 232K for the back row. Like, he's pretty much going to be in 90% of teams if that's the case.
No way, no.
He's currently in 1.6% of teams.
I've had him in my team. He's not in my team at the moment, but he's the alternative that I want versus Gashevsky. So might need two of those guys. But, yeah, I'm really high on Hubner. Hubner has massive reserve grade statistics. He also has come down from the Dolphins to South Sydney with Wayne Bennett. So Bennett obviously rates him very highly. Benny's boy. I can really get around that from a narrative perspective.
Junior Tupu from the Dolphins? 381K, he's the high end. Bostock, is that confirmed? Is he gone for the year, ACL?
No, he's gone for 2 weeks.
Ah, okay.
He's fine. So that's a bit dicey.
Good for him. I just sounded disappointed, but I was excited about Junior Tupu.
Junior Tupu's all right. I still don't know what we're going to get from Junior. And at 381K, I'm happy to have a watch there.
Yeah.
Especially with
Boston. I mean, he was in my side, so I'm going to take him out now.
Tubes, it's been a monster pod. We've gone through a ton of cheapies there. Hopefully we've given a little bit of clarity. I just can't remember ever this many cheapies on the horizon to start the year. So I think it's definitely the guns cheapie strategy. You might fit a mid-ranger or two in there, but, yeah, really pumped to get some of them into our side. We've got some footy this weekend to look forward to. Can't wait for it. Tubes, all the best for the rest of the draft and all the best for your NRL Supercoach season. And the big one, the Sunday snap, Sunday night record. We'll get that up as soon as we can. And best of luck for you and Jono with that.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I think it's been a long one, but I think it's just showing we're just, you know, these staggered TLTs, we're just ready to go for the season.
That's right.
So, like, we've probably made more to talk about and think about how much there is next week. But, yeah, Sunday snap. There'll be plenty after Vegas, and hopefully no more brawls. And yeah, it should be a good one.
All right, let's get your feel. All right, thanks, Tubes.
You beauty.